Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the place where we're going to be on Friday, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place. And I want to see you there. Join us for the show. You do not need a ticket. You do not need a reservation. Just come 3 to 7 p.m. You can come for all the show, part of the show. It's up to you. But we will be live Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, 3 to 7 p.m. this Friday, June 20th. I will even be there this Friday as well, in person, in the flesh. So I'm excited for that. All right. Join us for that this coming Friday. And thank you to the Grand Hotel of Cape May for sponsoring our happy hour. Let's do this, shall we? If bring you up to speed, if you're just kind of catching up where you've been, we've already had a very busy show today, but let's do this. Matt, I think you said you were sending a new show sheet. I don't see it, but did you send one?
I did a while ago. I can resend it, though.
Is it 401? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah. So we do have it. All right. So let's do this. Let's play the latest stuff that came out of the White House today. The president speaking to a number of different things regarding Iran. And he said, I don't want to get involved either, but I've been saying for 20 years and longer. Let's start with cut 27.
What's your message to Americans both here and abroad who are not only concerned about the U.S. potentially getting involved in another conflict in the Middle East, but worry about the potential for retaliation here at home?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get involved either, but I've been saying for 20 years, maybe longer, that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I've been saying it for a long time. And I think they were a few weeks away from having one. And they had to sign a document. I think they wish they signed it now. It was a fair deal. And now it's a harder thing to sign, you know. It's a lot of water over the dam. But, you know, it's very, I say it very simply, Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. Too much devastation. And they'd use it, you know, I believe they'd use it. Others won't use it, but I believe they'd use it. So that's it. It's very simple as far as I'm concerned. They can't have a nuclear weapon.
All right. He said Iran wants to visit him at the White House, but they don't know how that would work out. But if that's the case, because he's saying I may do it, I may not, I may strike, I may not. Look, a couple things here. Number one, let's break this down. If he were to go out there and say, there's no way I'm going to drop a bunker buster on Tehran and or on Fredo Mountain, whatever it is, and destroy their entire nuclear operation, because only the United States has the ability to drop this bunker bomb. Israel can't. If he were to go out there and act like he wouldn't do it, then there's no way Iran makes a deal, obviously. That's we all get that. Does the president have the power to do this without Congress? Yeah, they gave him the power under the War Powers Act to do these kind of strikes if he feels that it is in the imminent threat to the United States of America or our allies. I have long said I believe the War Powers Act needs to be rewritten by Congress because I think it gives the president far too much leverage to use the military without an actual declaration of war. But it is the law as it stands right now. And so he would be operating, in my opinion, under his constitutional authority if he were to drop this bunker buster on Iran and say he has to do it for the good of our region, our allies, U.S. troops, et cetera, et cetera. Let's Congress know, and that's that. Congress disagrees, they can impeach him, but I think he's within his legal authority to do so under the War Powers Act. Again, which I've long said, needs to be rewritten by Congress, just like the president declaring national emergencies. That power needs to be rewritten by Congress. There's lots of things that Congress needs to rewrite. But until they do, that's the law, and then you work with the law you have, and that's the case. Okay. Number three. This is the last thing that Iran wants, because if that happens, then their nuclear program is over, and then they have no nuclear for energy. They'll never be able to rebuild it. It would be that catastrophic for them. So that's what the United States has over their heads right now. And there was no way Barack Obama was ever going to do that. There was no way Joe Biden was ever going to do that. They know that Trump killed Soleimani. They know that Trump just doesn't give a blank. They know he's not afraid of anything. And they also know that he's not afraid of whatever political backlash he'll get within his own movement, because, you know, he clearly doesn't care. So they know all those things. But based on that, the only posture to take is, I may not. You'll find out when I do it. Because that's the only way you get Iran to think that it's going to happen. And if Iran doesn't think it's going to happen, the only way to keep crazy people in their lane is to make them believe that, yeah, the worst case scenario will happen to you. And then what do you do? You, the crazy people, I mean, what do you do then? So, I mean, all this talk, all this hypothetical talk about the United States getting involved in a long protracted war, it would literally be just dropping a bunker buster and then that's it. I mean, what does Iran do after that? Not, they can't do anything after that. They're still going to have their terrorist proxies and they're still going to have everything else. But Russia's not going to do anything. China's not going to do anything. Iran's just going to sit there and be devoid of a nuclear program. So, I mean, that's how I see this playing out. Maybe I'm missing something here, but that's how I see this. It's just you drop the thing, it's over, and then, you know, you move on. And Iran does not want that. So does it? Because what I've said yesterday was, you know, this idea of regime change, to me, that's more problematic. I think it's more problematic to have regime change, because whenever there's a vacuum, you don't know who's going to fill it. And you don't know what civil war breaks out, if that's the case or something like that. But as far as just dropping a bunker buster on this Fredo site and then just destroying their nuclear program, that's one and done. I mean, and that may lead to a civil war. That may lead to regime change, but that's different than the United States actively going in and toppling the Shah, the Ayatollah, like we did Saddam Hussein. I see it as a different outcome. But the president says Iran wants to visit him at the White House. I don't think the Secret Service would let them anywhere near the guy, but, you know, cut 28.
Contributed to that change, how you got to where you are in making your decision now?
Well, I think it started the first night. I mean, you know, that first night was devastating, and it really knocked the one side off, as you know. Devastating, devastating evening, day, and it pretty much proceeded that way. I have a meeting in the war room in a little while, situation room, as some people call it. So we're going to meet. We're going to see. We're in the midst of it. It's a terrible thing. I hate to see it. I hate to see all that death, so much death and destruction. But death primarily is what I hate to see.
Does that mean you haven't made a decision yet on what to do?
I have ideas as to what to do, but I haven't made a final. I like to make the final decision 1 second before it's due, you know, because things change. I mean, especially with war, things change with war. It can go from one extreme to the other. War is very bad. There was no reason for this to be a war. There was no reason for Russia, Ukraine. A lot of wars there was no reason for, you know. You look right up there, I don't know, see the Declaration of Independence, and I say, I wonder if you know, the Civil War always seemed to me, maybe that could have been solved without losing 600,000 plus people.
If I'm them, I want to make a deal, right? I mean, that's the case. I don't. You drop this bunker buster thing on Fredo Mountain, and what do they do? They have no way to retaliate. Dr. Coates has been saying this for a long time. Saying, look at the other forces in the region. What's Russia going to do? Nothing. What's China going to do? Nothing. President Trump told senior aides late today he approved of the attack late yesterday. He approved of attack plans for Iran, but was holding off on giving the final order to see if Tehran will abandon its nuclear program. Three people familiar with the deliberations have said. And they're also running out of ammo. And, you know, I mean, we drop this thing, it's done, it's over. But that also means it's over for them in terms of having something that we all want and want more of, which is nuclear energy. I mean, nuclear energy is a good thing, right? And Iran wants it because it wants to be able to power its country. And nobody's arguing that Iran doesn't have a right to have nuclear power. It just, Iran can't have a nuclear bomb. So, and but put your, I mean, think about it from their perspective. If you drop a bomb on Fredo Mountain, and then there's no nuclear energy either. So you're only relying on oil, but the world cuts you off from selling oil to other countries around the world. So you're now completely self-dependent upon providing your own energy to yourself. And that is also problematic from a supply point of view, of a supply and demand point of view, because Iran would like to be able to sell oil. And if the president makes it clear nobody's buying Iran's oil, and if Iran doesn't have a nuclear program because it can't have nuclear energy, and then Iran can only rely on its own oil to keep its own lights on, but it's not making any money because it's not selling its oil. I mean, it's a real problem for the country in all of these respects. That's why I said to you yesterday, I don't see us getting into this long, protracted Middle East war. I don't believe these naysayers on Twitter who are like, oh, the president's being convinced to go to World War III by people, these neocons and everything else. I don't see that happening for the very reason that what we tried to do in Iraq was different. We tried to do regime change, and then we tried to rebuild the country. We tried to instill a government in the country. We can't do it. That doesn't work. That's a hard no, hard pass on that. Okay, we can't, even if the Ayatollah dies, I don't want the United States putting in another regime. I don't want us rebuilding the roads and the schools and helping educate the kids. And No. But that's different than taking out their nuclear capability, obviously. The president talked about saying here now that Tucker Carlson called him and apologized. Cut 29.
Have you seen the Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz interview? It seems like this issue on whether or not the United States should strike is kind of dividing a lot of your supporters.
No, my supporters are for me. My supporters are America First and Make America Great Again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon. Tucker's a nice guy. He called and apologized the other day because he thought he said things that were a little bit too strong. And I appreciated that. And Ted Cruz is a nice guy. I mean, he's been with me for a long time. I'd say once the race was over, he's been with me ever since, right? But very simple. If they think that it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon, then they should oppose me. But nobody thinks it's okay. People that don't want, I don't want to fight either. I'm not looking to fight. But if it's a choice between fighting and them having a nuclear weapon, you have to do what you have to do.
So back to this Tucker Carlson, Ted Cruz thing. Here's what happened here. Here's the back and forth between Senator Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson. There's a couple clips on this I want to play for you. It got very, very heated. And let's see. Here's Senator Cruz talking about if Iran. Well, actually, let's do this. Okay. Start with cut 15 here. Back and forth over what the population of Iran is. Take a listen.
I don't know the population at all. No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country...
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix of Iran?
they are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
even, you don't know anything about Iran. So
okay,
actually,
I am not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling for the overthrow of the government.
You're the one who claims you don't know anything about the country. No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
You're the one who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani,
and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. Okay, if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. I said we. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here, because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting
this is
Israel.
High stakes. You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I just got this email and my attention span. And for some reason, I find this more interesting than the battle between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson. Warner Brothers Pictures and Welcome America present Look Up, It's a Superman Drone Show. A first-ever drone show lights up the sky over Philadelphia to celebrate DC Studios' upcoming film Superman following the June 22nd Phillies game. That's when? Oh, that's Sunday. Right. So we're at the Grand Hotel on Friday the 20th. Then the Phillies game is Sunday. So, no, Saturday. Wait, Saturday, June 22nd is not a Saturday. This is, right?
Sunday's the 22nd.
Yeah, the press release says Saturday, June 22nd, but that's not possible. So it must be Sunday, June 22nd. So after the game, Phillies fans will enjoy the spectacle as they exit the stadium, while the general public is encouraged to look up toward the stadium area for a view of the show that's sure to leave all of Philly inspired. It says Saturday, June 22nd, but obviously it's either Saturday, June 21st or Sunday, June 22nd. I don't know. And it's going to be between 10th and Packer. And that's going to happen this weekend. That's pretty cool. I like the fact, too, because the guy who's playing Superman, David Corenswet, is from Philly. So look at that. It's pretty cool. Hey, Matt, you don't have Brazier's number, do you?
I do not.
All right, let me text him real quick and find out what the deal is with this. Let's see here. When is the Superman drone thing? ? Is it Saturday or Sunday? ? Because the press release says Saturday, June 22nd, which is not a Saturday.
It sounds like a text that a 15-year-old would send.
And I'm What do you call it? I'm talk to texting you while I'm hosting the radio show, so this is happening live on the air. So that's fun. All right, so let's see if he writes me back. Okay. Anyway, that'll be cool. Anyone going to the game on either Saturday or Sunday? Well, come to Cape May on Friday, and then we'll see the drone show over the weekend in Philly. And it's good that they're warning people it's a drone show, because given the drone problem we had last year,
oh, people would be freaking out if they. But no, it's a good series. They're playing the Mets this weekend, so it's a good series.
Oh, that's right.
And so you get to see a good game, and you get to see a good drone show.
Oh, Mikey, who's Jimmy's radio producer, is probably going to get to see that because he's coming down. But again, is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Which day is it? He's going to the Saturday game. Is it Saturday or is it Sunday?
Hopefully, Brazier will let us know very soon.
By the way, do you eat hot dogs?
I do eat hot dogs every now and again.
I love them. Especially, I love hot dogs at Citizens Bank Park. I'm a big fan. But there's a news report. I don't eat anything vegetarian. I refuse to eat vegan. I think it's a joke. I think it's a fugazi. The company Clear Foods recently analyzed a bunch of hot dog and sausage products. Ready for this? Human DNA. Delicious. Cut 26.
People who eat hot dogs eat them because they taste so good.
Yep.
But what's in them is not so good.
I don't care.
Yeah, we've learned to accept it, but I don't know if you'll feel so accepting after this.
Still,
the company Clear Foods recently analyzed 345 hot dog and sausage products from 75 brands and retailers and found, are you hot dog lovers ready for this? human DNA in 2% of the samples and in 2/3 of the vegetarian samples. And get this, 10% of all vegetarian products appear to contain meat. Clear Foods says that there are some companies producing high-quality hot dog, top scores to Butterball, McCormick, Eckrick, and Hebrew National. Human DNA.
Would you rather have DNA or ketchup on a hot dog?
Ketchup easily.
You go ketchup over human DNA?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the report, only 2%. I'm willing to take that gamble.
Yeah.
I'm not a vegetarian.
98% chance.
You got a 98% chance the hot dog is just fine. Absolutely.
It's like I'm not eating vegetarian hot dogs. You got 10%. No, 2%'s fine with me. I take that. I already don't want to know what's in a hot dog. I'll take a 2%. I'll take a 98% to 2% gamble.
And part of the joy of eating a hot dog is not knowing what the hell's in it.
Exactly. It tastes good.
Yeah,
it's all that matters to me.
Part of the joy. Don't take the joy away by telling me what's in it. As far as I know, people.
And it still tastes good.
There was a famous study from the University of Michigan which claimed that for every hot dog you consume, you lose 36 minutes of your life expectancy.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to eat one every 36 minutes because I want this to end at this rate. This keeps going on. How many hot dogs do you think Joe Biden ate in his lifetime? Is there a link between hot dogs and losing your brain, losing your mind?
I don't think so.
They had that hearing today on Capitol Hill about the auto pen. Senator Josh Hawley talked about that. But before I get to that, let me just say one thing. I think that mayonnaise is the perfect condiment for a burger. And I know Jack Carr's got a real problem with mayonnaise. I'm going to talk to him about this on Friday. But ever since I saw Pulp Fiction and they talked about how they put mayonnaise on a burger, right? They effing drown them in that, you know? Mayonnaise with French fries, too. Changed my life. Life-changing. Mayonnaise. Gotta go mayo. So
I gotta agree with Jack Carr. Not a big mayo guy. Can't lie.
It's amazing how condiments divide people, truly. It really is. Condiments divide. Condiments divide. People. Just make that point very clear.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, at the Grand Hotel of Cape May on Friday, we can have all these fun conversations. And there's no DNA in any of their food. I know that. No human DNA. All DNA proof. That's true. DNA free. That we know. Senator Josh Hawley talked about President Biden and the auto pen today. And did Joe Biden actually assent to using the auto pen? This is him with Theodore Wold, former deputy assistant in the Trump administration. Cut 24.
This is a party that cannot be trusted with power. that cannot be trusted to tell the truth, the most basic truth. They all changed their tunes after Joe Biden debated President Trump, and the whole world could see he couldn't even form a sentence, that running this guy for president again is a form of elder abuse. My, how they changed their tunes after that. Now they can't even show up in public to talk about it. This is embarrassing. But worse than that, it's dangerous. It is dangerous for this country. Mr. Wold, I want to pick up on something you just said a second ago about the OLC and their opinion as to when an auto pen can be used. Just be clear about this. Auto pen means not signed by the person. Auto pen is basically push of a button and it gets signed. OLC says only when the president specifically directs it and it is under his direct authority. Do I basically have that right?
That's correct, Senator.
So, based on the facts we know, did that happen in this case with all of the pardons and clemencies and other giveaways that Joe Biden signed?
Assuming that the Biden White House complied with sort of traditional practice of presidential administrations and that there was record keeping either from the staff secretary or others, there should be records to indicate either through covering memorandum or briefing books where the president would have signed his signature authorizing this decision. None of that has come forward. That would be very easy to dispel some of these concerns. And I think what we're seeing here is really the auto pen is best understood as a sort of a tool of executive
convenience. Hold on a second. You just said something very important. I want to emphasize that. So what you're saying is that there should be, for every time that Biden authorized the auto pen, there should be a record of that. And he should have had to have registered his personal consent to using the auto pen. Is that basically correct?
I think to put it another way, I would say in the policy paper flow to the Oval Office, there should be a record of what documents are presented to the president when and when he gave his assent to the actions that are listed in those documents, whether it's a judicial nomination or it's a statutory response to Congress.
Well, I think the answer is we need to get those documents. And I just say to our friends in the media over here, you guys need to be asking for those documents, and we need to be asking for them, Mr. Chairman. We need to see those documents. And the president, the former president now, could certainly choose to release them. I'm sure they're part of his personal papers, right, Mr. Wold?
That's correct. And the first place to start would be the staff secretary's office under President Biden.
Okay, here's the trail. If you want to know, if you want an answer to the question, did Joe Biden actually assent to the use of the auto pen? And all you think of all the people he pardoned, he granted clemency to, murderers, drug dealers, child rapists. Let's find out. Did he actually authorize it? There should be a record of it, is what we've learned today. Thank you.
There could be a paper trail. That's a big deal, by the way. That's a big deal. That's a very, very big deal. If that's the case. Okay, the drone show is after our ESPN game on Sunday night. We have nothing to do with it. It's being handled by Welcome America and the City of Philadelphia. Okay? There you go. All right? Boom. By the way, you know what else has human DNA in it?
What else?
Why is President Biden saying he was shot down? There's no evidence of that. And why is he saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals? That is a bad way to go.
If cannibals eat human DNA. So, I'm just saying. If you analyze the average cannibal's diet, comes up very high in human DNA. Just so you know. All right? Just so you know, pointing that out. Okay, good. Excellent. Let's see what else we got for you today. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Yes, I know what it was. There, the other property being taken in New Jersey. We have a report on that. Thanks from our buddy, the Greater Chris. Do we have that? Did I send that to you?
Yep, I got it.
All right, here we go. It's not just this farm in New Jersey. It's not just one farm. Just like it's never one phone. Take a listen.
Residents in Ocean County fighting to save their woods. They say it is the last piece of protected green space in their community. News 12 New Jersey's Naomi Yane tonight with that story.
Save our woods!
These over 100-year-old woods along Marion Avenue here in Pine Beach are what folks in this community are trying to save.
It's the last little piece of land we have left, not only for those majestic trees, but all the wildlife and the ecosystem that's in there.
Ahead of tonight's land use board meeting, residents took to the streets collecting signatures, garnering support to save the woods.
This is our little Mayberry. I don't know who's coming in and taking over, but someone is, and they just want to take it all away. It's all about money, 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 I guess. Well, I don't know where anybody's heart is anymore.
On June 3rd, the town's land use board held a special meeting and voted 4-2 on the amended master plan. According to the land use board, the master plan must be updated every 10 years.
Since that was voted as an approval, the affordable housing attorney sent over that draft to the state. However, it was not formalized and endorsed by the council.
In a statement, Mayor Lawrence Cuneo said in part, Pine Beach would love to preserve this land. The state wants us to use it to meet a future housing need.
We want to preserve this. We're trying to do what's best for the town.
Okay.
And sometimes the best for the town is between a rock and a hard place.
Residents who oppose the land usage master plan say they're not against affordable housing. They say it's about preserving the woods and working to find other solutions.
We have many, many other options. We have, as you can see across the street from me, that's an odd lot that wasn't buildable. And they gave a variance. And now
let me just jump in here and say this point. All right, here's the deal. Every single town should fight back and say, hell no, we are not proceeding with building this affordable housing. We're not condemning land. We're not condemning farms. We're not doing any of these things until after the governor's race is over. We have a governor's race, and make this governor's race in New Jersey a referendum on this tragedy that is occurring here. We're condemning private property. We're condemning farms. We're condemning beautiful land to build high-density housing and then all the services that have to come with it. Every single town, and I don't want to hear from these weeny municipal attorneys. Listen to me. I've dealt with these people for a long time. These are some of the biggest bunch of weenies in the world, the people that are the attorneys for towns and counties. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And they're the land in the state. We have no choice. Some of them are being mandated. No. The elected officials, you appoint the attorney and tell the attorney, no, he wasn't elected. You were elected. And say, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. What's Murphy going to do? Send the state police in to arrest you? Then let him arrest you. First of all, he's not going to, but let him. And say no. Say there's a governor's race coming up in November. This is what every single New Jersey town needs to do right now. There's a governor's race in November. We want to see the outcome of that race. Because if Jack Cirelli wins, this ends here. This affordable housing nightmare ends, and the 165,000 units that Murphy's forcing everybody to build won't get built, period. And we can stop condemning land and doing all these things. Say no. Push back. Delay. That's it. Period. Stop condemning land. Stop condemning people's private property. Stop doing this. Enough. End it. And I don't care what we're between a rock and a hard place. No, you're not. Be bold and say, there's no rock. There's no hard place. We're not doing it. Period. We're not doing it. We are not building the affordable housing. We are not condemning land. We are not taking people's private property away. We in this town, we in this municipality, we are not doing it. Period. What's the state going to do? Seriously. And then let them come in and do something so that you'll help Jack Cirelli even more get across the finish line this November. Help the Republican nominee for governor even more as the Democrats once again overstep and probably come in and start knocking homes down and bulldozing properties. Go ahead. Let them. I am so tired of these people, these municipal officials with no cojones whatsoever, and they listen to these municipal attorneys and these county attorneys, and they the Mount Laurel decision and the state mandate, and they shut up. Stop. You're the mayor. You're the council. You say no, period. Say no. Say, we are tabling this until after the governor's election. And if Phil Murphy doesn't like it, Phil Murphy can come down here. If the court orders you to do something, ignore it. Tell him you're not listening. Tell them you're going to wait till after the election. Tell them we'll reconsider this after the election. That's it, period. Everything's on hold until January. Until that. Because if Mikey Sherrill wins, if the Democrat wins, yeah, guess what? You're going to have to build all the affordable housing. You're done. You're screwed. 165,000 units, maybe more. And yeah, all those farms and shore properties and everything else will be condemned. Absolutely, 100%. But what I would do if I were a mayor or I were a councilman or I were a commissioner or whatever other names they call these people nowadays, say absolutely not. Nothing. And I mean, nothing is going to happen on this issue until after the election for governor of New Jersey, because you have two candidates here who are both on opposite sides of this issue. One is on the side of right and the other one is on the side of the lunatic left who wants to destroy every last open space we have and force in these low income housing units. So we in this town, we in this borough, we in this municipality are doing absolutely nothing. We're not condemning anything. We're not building anything. We're not surveying anything. Nothing's happening. This is all on hold, period. Not that complicated. And you know what you should do? You should go to your town council, go to your town, and you should just stand up at a microphone and say, is it so hard to ask you people to just wait until after November? Just wait. You got an election coming up. It's middle of June, July, August, September, October, November. You have 5 months. Can you just give me 5 months? Can you people just wait 5 months? Not that complicated. We're not asking that much. Demand it. And then if the elected officials in that county or town or borough or whatever else don't have the cojones to do it, then vote their ass out, period. But please don't listen to the lawyers. Do not let municipal attorneys drive this. No. No. Absolutely not. They will always tell you you have to follow the law and blah, blah, blah. That's their job. Fine. I understand that. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Tell them we're doing nothing. Nothing is happening. We are not condemning property. We're not building affordable housing. We are doing nothing until after the governor's election, period. And let the Democrats do what they always do, which is overreact. God, believe me, if I didn't hate politics, I would just run. I would just run because I could solve all this very, very easily. But I have no interest in doing it. And don't ask me to either. So I have no interest in doing it. But maybe someday. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Anyway, the president put two giant flagpoles at the White House today. Two giant flagpoles. Very, very cool stuff. Great stuff. And we'll be live Friday at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you will join us for that. 3 to 7 p.m. live show. You do not need a ticket. So don't worry about it. Just come on by and see us. Tri-County Auto. I love the fact that they are a new sponsor to the show. I really, really am so excited about the fact that Tri-County Auto has decided to sponsor us. And I want you to give them some love because we're talking about American-made cars here, baby. American-made. And right now, you're going to get employee pricing plus. Get employee pricing plus on your favorite vehicles all month long at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Right now, during the Jeep Tops Off event, you can lease a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited for only $420 a month. A Jeep Compass Limited for only $420 a month for 42 months. Or check out a new 2025 Ram 1500 Bighorn. You can lease that baby for $459 a month for 42 months. There's all kinds of offers, and I just go on their website, tricounty.com, and see all the offers, see the incredible financing, see the employee pricing plus. Do it today. And appreciate the fact that you'll be driving American. You'll love the pride in that. We also love the pride in supporting a dealership that is our sponsor. And they're right off Route 422, easy to get to, King of Prussia, Pottstown, the whole Collegeville, easy. 1, 2, 3, you're there. Boom. Tri-County Auto, Brian Krieger, Cheryl, the whole team there, great people, wonderful people. And they're going to make sure that you are very, very happy. Tri-County.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
So there was a post on the social media. It sounded like something Trump would say, but apparently it's fake. But it went viral and a bunch of people sent it to me, but apparently it's not real. If Iran doesn't surrender in the next 24 hours, I'm going to drop Chris Christie on them. Thank you. Apparently not real, but definitely something he wishes he had said and something he totally would say. So
sloppy Chris Christie.
Where's the flat fat slob one? Do we have that? It's
Chris Christie, who's got nothing going except I could be tougher than Trump. He's not tougher than anybody's slob.
The disdain in the way he says
slob. So good. I mean, that's funny as hell, but not real. If Iran doesn't surrender in the next 24 hours, I'm going to drop Chris Christie on them. Thank you. That's a bunker buster right there, no doubt about it. Okay, so the president put up a flagpole today. Let's see, I want to make sure I meant this. Let's see here. It's a lot. Oh, yeah, this is. So, I'm trying to find this now. Okay. The hearing today to investigate Biden, which I don't want to lose sight of this. I really think this is critical. I've said forever now to you, I think this is the biggest political scandal of our lifetime. Chuck Grassley today in front of the Senate, well, Cube Cut 23. I'm glad they're doing this. We have to get to the bottom of this. Joe Biden was not running this country. We knew that. We know he wasn't running the country. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria at Veneria Dental. He's my dentist. I saw him today. As a matter of fact, we put the picture up on YouTube earlier. And Dr. Mike is the best. He's the man. So go see him today for your perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com. The biggest political scandal of our lifetime was Joe Biden's cognitive decline, period. Who was running the country? Who was making these decisions? You heard earlier Senator Josh Hawley today uncovered at this hearing that they found that there should be a paper trail when the president uses the auto pen. Great. Chuck Grassley, who's done a great job investigating a lot of things, talked about the way this administration failed and how the media covered up those failures. And they did. And remember what I've said to you before. This is not a situation where the media failed to cover Joe Biden's cognitive decline. This was the media purposely and deliberately covering up Joe Biden's cognitive decline, period. OK, they didn't fail to cover. They covered it up. So here's Chuck Grassley from today. Cut 23.
Today's hearing is about competency, corruption, and cover-up within the Biden administration. Simply put, the last administration was rudderless. From one crisis to another, the Biden administration failed and faltered. The partisan media did their best to cover up those failures. Having discussed these issues with my colleagues, Senator Cornyn and Schmidt, who requested to lead this hearing, all of us agreed that this committee must discuss this important matter. An important part of this discussion involves the last administration's...
By the way, just pause it real quick for a second. If you're wondering why you're not having any audio of Democrats today and only Republicans, it's because every single Democrat skipped the hearing on Biden's decline. Chuck Schumer yesterday said nobody cares about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Really? They want to do their best to pretend like this never happened and to just move on. We can't let that happen because I believe this nation was in grave danger. Grave, is there any other kind? No, there isn't. And this is the kind of danger that we were in. And that's the point. And the media went along and covered it up. But this is why people have lost trust in the media. This is why people have lost faith in the media. Let's continue with Chuck Grassley. Go ahead.
Of law enforcement against Trump and his associates, which was done to try and win an election. That, too, they tried to cover up. Since I became chairman of this committee, my investigative work has exposed how weaponization was done. look at the FBI's Arctic Frost investigation, which ultimately became one of Jack Smith's cases against President Trump, based upon records that I've made public. The case's origin was anti-Trump FBI agent Tebow and his merry band of artisans and partisans. The records indicate that the opening of Arctic Frost was an intentionally designed vehicle by which the Biden administration would ultimately prosecute their primary political opponent, President Trump.
President Trump was the hunted, and now he's the hunter, no doubt about it. But one thing I want to point out with all of this, and this whole thing with Israel and Iran and everything else, this idea of American intervention. How do we get here? We got here because the previous administration did nothing, and we're left now to clean up the mess of this. Tulsi Gabbard, where is Tulsi right now? Where is Tulsi in the moment? Politico has a story today. Inside the clashes between Trump and Gabbard, the director of national intelligence has rankled Trump with her statements about nuclear war, and the president has suggested she's off message. Now, I don't know whether or not Tulsi Gabbard at this moment in time is involved in the conversations. She had put out a video back on June 10th at 5:27 a.m. saying, I recently visited Hiroshima and stood at the epicenter of a city scarred by the unimaginable horror caused by a single nuclear bomb dropped in 1945. What I saw, the stories I heard, and the haunting sadness that remains will stay with me forever. Some people thought that was an ominous warning, that she was saying we, the United States of America, should not get involved with Iran here. Back to that exchange with Tucker Carlson and with Senator Ted Cruz, this back and forth over Iran. And, you know, here's Cruz accusing Tucker Carlson of having the same foreign policy as Barack Obama and Jimmy Carter. Cut 16.
This is the most powerful country in the world. If you're calling for toppling in government, it's incumbent on you to know something about the country and to think through the consequences of that. And you haven't, and you don't. And I'm saying that's reckless.
I haven't thought, okay, you engage in reckless rhetoric with no facts. And to be clear,
I'm not calling for the overthrow of a government.
You put out a newsletter attacking Donald Trump and calling him complicit.
I've never attacked Donald Trump.
Yes, you have. And by the way,
I campaigned for Donald Trump.
Okay, yes.
And this is after anti-Semitism, this is the last refuge. You're an anti-Semite and you hate Trump.
Okay,
I love Trump.
I will read. You put out a whole newsletter saying Trump has abandoned America first. And here's what Trump said in response. Well, considering that I'm the one that developed America First, and considering that the term wasn't used until I came along, I think I'm the one who decides that. For those people who say they want peace, you can't have peace if Iran has a nuclear weapon. So for all of those wonderful people who don't want to do anything about Iran having a nuclear weapon, that's not peace. That was directed at you.
Man, this is, you got me. Busted.
No, I'm just saying.
Look, let me jump in. You see, this is the problem here. I think that there's somewhere in the middle between this all-out war in the Middle East, and then there's the idea of dropping a bunker bomb and ending Iran's nuclear capability. The question then, of course, becomes what happens to that? Is there spread? Is there the kind of radiation? Does it destroy the region, the water, the poison, all of those questions? But as long as Iran thinks that that's going to happen, then I think that it won't happen. And I think that that's why the president said today they want to make a deal. That's what I think. I do not think we are going to get into a long, protracted war here. I think this battle between MAGA, I think this battle between Tucker, I think this battle between Mark Levin, all these guys, this is it's too much. Donald Trump is not going to be pushed into getting involved into a long, protracted Middle East war, period. He's not. He's not that kind of guy. He's not going to be pushed around like that. That is not going to be the case. So it won't happen. He may take action against Iran, but as long as Iran thinks he might, then I think Iran's going to try to make a deal because Iran does not want that to happen to them. Bottom line, that is it. That is the situation. They cannot allow that to happen. They can't. There's too much to risk. There's too much at play here. So that's the way that is. And that's the way I see it here. Anyway, I'm done with the Tucker. All the it's boring to me, quite frankly, at this point. All right. Play this for you. The question of Democrats now and how they're going to deal with illegal immigration As we get back to the New Jersey governor's race, and you think about Mikey Sherrill, and you think about Mikey Sherrill now running for governor of New Jersey. She has no plan. She doesn't know what she's going to do with the first bill. Nothing. But where is she going to stand on the issue of illegal immigration? And for some guidance on that, let's look to New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who apparently had only one working eyebrow. But she said with Jen Psaki yesterday, she'll work with the Trump administration to remove violent criminals, but not the employed illegals. All right. This point, this differentiator right here between whether or not you're going to have Democrats who are working with this administration or not, and whether or not they're going to stand in the way, this is about to become the breaking point here. And you'll see what I mean by this as we get closer to the election. But here's cut 19.
Stand up and say no more. And I'll tell you this, as I said, under 8 hours of questioning in Congress just a few days ago, I will work with the Trump administration to remove the people he said he was going after. I will help you get the criminals out of here, the ones who are violent criminals, who are hurting other people, the human traffickers, the people dealing in drugs, people with guns. I want them gone. I'll help you. But don't take care of the home health care aides, the 160 who are going to lose their jobs that I've met today and talked to. They'll lose their jobs and they lose their status. You know what? That means there's 160 vulnerable New Yorkers who are going to lose their caregivers. And the people who work in the restaurants and hospitality, let them get jobs, pay their taxes, be part of our communities. Like my grandpa was a migrant farm worker. Everybody comes and starts out and struggles. But you know what? Over time, it works. It's the American dream.
Okay. Now, when you poll people on this issue, what you find is that they are they don't want to see, and this is part of the problem right now with the Democrats, they don't want to see all these people taking jobs that American people are more than capable of doing. And this fallback idea that illegal immigrants are the ones who are cleaning our hotel rooms and working on our farms and doing all these things, and the Democrats are going to be on their side. You know what the coded message to that is? The coded message to that is we're going to remain a sanctuary city because they want you to believe that they're providing sanctuary for the people that work in the hotels and the kitchens, et cetera, et cetera. That is what they want you to believe. So what I'm telling you is you got to translate that. The translation to what Kathy Hochul's saying here, because we all know there's people that could do those jobs and nobody's really coming in and you know, grabbing people in motel rooms. And no, but they want you to think that. And so when they say we're a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, they want you to believe that we're providing sanctuary for those kind of individuals and that without those individuals, these jobs could never get done because there's nobody else who would do them. But that's also trying to confuse you because sanctuary cities and sanctuary states are not about protecting those people. They're about protecting the people who are in the criminal justice process. And that's how ICE knows about them. Because otherwise, how does ICE know? They don't. So New York State, New York City, a sanctuary state, the game like Philadelphia, the game here is we're actually providing cover for criminals. We're going to make you think that we're providing cover for the grandma who's a housekeeper trying to live the American dream. That's not what being a sanctuary city is. It's not what being a sanctuary state is either. So understand the translation, understand the BS of what they're saying so that you can speak their BS language, and then you can hear right through it. Listen, summer's here, and you should be out there enjoying your yard, not dealing with standing water that breeds mosquitoes, ruins your lawn, and even damages your basement pool liner. That's where Garden State Earthworks comes in. They fixed my water issues, and they're going to fix yours too. No more soggy spots, no more headaches, just a drier, healthier yard you can actually enjoy. Call 856-848-4444, 856-848-4444, or visit GardenStateEarthworks.com today. Lou Vargo is the man. He's going to do great work for you in your backyard. Solve your water problems just like he solved mine. I'm telling you, he's the best at what he does. Super busy, by the way, super busy. So if you don't reach out to him, then you're going to be in the back of the pack. But here's the thing. You tell them I sent you, they'll make you a priority. So call them right now at 856-848-4444, 856-848-4444, or GardenStateEarthworks.com, your drainage solution. They drain that water away, GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.